Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to encourage us with Christmas hope and to challenge us to learn more and grow closer to God's greatest gift, His Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's the 25 Talks of Christmas, a different holiday-themed talk each and every day, all month long. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime from the 25 Talks of Christmas Advent calendar at richardellistalks.com. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is King Size Bed. Last Christmas, Grandpa was feeling his age and found that shopping for Christmas gifts had become too difficult. So he decided to send checks to everyone instead. In each card he wrote, quote, "Buy your own present," and mailed them early. He enjoyed the usual flurry of family festivities, and it was only after the holiday that he noticed that he had received very few cards in return. Puzzled over this, he went into his study intending to write a couple of his relatives and ask what had happened. It was then, as he cleared off his cluttered desk, that he got his answer. Under a stack of papers, he was horrified to find the gift checks, which he had forgotten to enclose with the cards. So don't recommend leaving by your own presents. It's got to go together. All right, go to Matthew chapter 2. Now, let me just give you a definition of a king. Part of the definition is a male sovereign, which is it's not just by chance. A king has to be a male, a queen, something else. A king, a male sovereign or monarch, a man who holds by life tenure. Now listen to this. A man who holds by life tenure and usually by hereditary right, the chief authority over a country and people. So that is a king. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1, and let's jump in here and just read some of this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born what? King of the Jews." These three guys show up, and without knowing anything about anybody, their question is, we're looking for the king of the Jews. Not just a king, but some kid has been born. It's literally the stars somehow have communicated to us that a king, a little boy has been born, that he is a king, and that he is king specifically of the Jews. So they show up. Now they're showing up, God, and I don't have time to get into all this, but if you go astronomically and look into the stars, if you assume that the birth of Jesus was built into the stars, you say, well, I believe in the Big Bang. Well, somehow in your Big Bang, the stars got set into motion so that they would proclaim to three wise men that this Jesus had been born. I'm not going with the Big Bang. I'm going with the Big God. That God creates the heavens and the earth, and literally built into the movement of the planets and stars is a specific moment in time when Jesus would be born, and it all lines up. And you say, well, I just think it's coincidence, and I don't believe all that. At some point, it gets crazy to just be coincidence. It's not possible. So they come looking for this king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and they have come what? To worship him. Part of what you do with a king is you come and bow. And remember I said that because that's kind of where we're going. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The Jews knew when Messiah came, he would be born in Bethlehem. They just believed it. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. He's saying, okay, so when did you see this celestial occurrence? Let's narrow this down. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that what? That I may come and worship him also." Not everybody that's looking for Jesus is interested in worshiping him, really. There are religious people out there who will talk about certain things, but they really don't have an interest in this. When they heard the king, they departed, And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three wise men, wise enough to find this little baby and bow down and worship. At some point in your life, you're going to have to decide what you are going to do with this King Jesus. This is not just some kid born. He is either a king or he's not. He is either God or he's not. And if you actually say in your heart or out loud, okay, I will acknowledge that Jesus is God in the flesh, that's a great start. But then you have to figure out, do you believe that he came to die for you, be buried, raised from the dead, and that you personally have to acknowledge that he did that for you, accept his payment on your behalf, and get in the game? You say, well, I believe all that stuff. Is it personal? Is it real? People say, well, I believe in God. The Bible says the demons in hell believe in God and tremble at his name. So now you and the demons agree there's a God. That's not it. That's a good place to start, but it is way more than that. Now go to John chapter 1, verse 49. I'm going to read a ton of these verses. If you don't know where this stuff is, you can get familiar with the Bible. The more you use it, it's kind of like going to the old mechanic shops. They have those giant books, and they can stick their hand in, find some part. You say, well, how do they do that? Because they're in it every day. But until you get there, table of contents in the front, you can find these. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 49 here. Jesus is basically calling his disciples out. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And something miraculous had just happened. And Jesus kind of says, well, Nathanael, do you believe it because you saw that? And, you know, whatever it was, he still says it out loud. He believes it. That he is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Go to Zechariah 9:9. I promise you it's in there. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So that is stated in Zechariah. Now go to Matthew 21. Easier to find, Matthew 21. Verse 1. Now, this is right before Jesus is crucified, the Passover. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So you say, well, that's stupid. You know, Zechariah says that. And then Jesus goes, oh, well, all I got to do is find a donkey and I'll be the fulfillment of that. Okay, so he does that. You still can't make a guy a king if he's not a king. And you certainly can't get him raised from the dead if he's not who he says he is. Go to Luke 19, Luke 19, 35. Same kind of context. Then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Very fascinating. There's lots of worship, lots of praise from his birth to even at his death. And we'll see before we're done, even the book of Revelation in heaven itself, obviously, there's a lot of worship. At some point, you're going to have to get in the worship part. I'll read you a verse in a minute. You say, well, I'm not bowing to anybody. I don't care who it is. I hate to tell you, but you will bow. And this is one of those, whether you like it or not, even people who don't believe in God are going to get to bow in a God they don't believe in. They are going to bow. You will acknowledge that he is Lord, that he is the King. John 19, go to John 19, verse 12. Now, before I read this, let me say something and try to, this is not just for you guys in here, but anybody listening anywhere. You've got to be really careful that you are not just a religious person. And you say, well, I grew up with something. Maybe you grew up Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever you grew up, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, you got all these, you know, denominations. My favorite denominations are 50s and 100s. That's just a personal thing, but maybe you've got... You grew up with something. So you say, yeah, I'm religious, or I'm spiritual, or yeah, I go to church a couple times a year, maybe more, or I like this and that. And you pick, but the question is not, are you religious? The question is, do you get it? Do you get him? Have you gotten him in your life personally? It's not about God just being around you. It is having him move inside of you, live in you, in your heart, in your life, through your life. That is different. It is not ritual, ceremony. I grew up jumping through all these hoops, and for some reason, it wasn't personal. When it becomes personal, you will bow. Amen. There is something that happens to someone who connects with God in such a way that you get it, where you cannot help but find yourself prostrate before him like these wise men. So in this passage, you have the religious rulers on the planet. Verse 12, John 19, 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Jesus didn't have to make himself a king. He was born a king. Amen. He is the king. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat him down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. Even Pilate saying it. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered. Now look at this. These are the chief priests. We have no king but Caesar, and there's their problem. If the only king you have is the king you've got on this planet, you are in big trouble. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus, led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, and on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. They got it right. Philippians chapter 2. Keep going to the right from John. You see Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians is right after that. Philippians 2:9. Now look at this. And this is what I was making reference to a minute ago. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's just going to happen. Now, here's my suggestion to you. Before you die, speak those words from your heart and understand what that means, that Jesus is Lord. And the book says you can't even say those words, but by the Spirit of God. I have talked to people before where I'll ask him, can you say that? They cannot even get the words out. Because if you try to say those words from the heart, you are saying that he is the boss and you are not. Now, let me tell you something. This is where we get into trouble. When you and I lead our lives, run our lives, live our lives in such a way that God comes along and says, hey, this is what I am not even suggesting. The Bible is filled with commandments. And he says, look, this is the deal. I'm not asking, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to be mean. This is what works. And we go, you know what? You're not the boss of me. And that's when it falls apart. When we say, I am the boss of me, I am the Lord, or you get really twisted and make Satan the Lord somehow. And you say, oh, I would never go there. Well, like you being Lord is not bad enough. Like you're the king of your life. I can run my life. Who do I think I am? Now, just track with me just a second. I had a really strange experience recently. A friend of mine asked me to go play golf. We go to this place and it's a nice place. Nobody's out there. I get out of my car. I get my clubs. It's so nice that, you know, sometimes you go to a nice place, you kind of know you really don't belong there. Anybody ever felt that way? A lot of people have been to churches like that, like, oops, I got to get out of here. So I got there, you know, you're a little off balance anyway, you know, do I belong? No, I don't belong. I'm a guest. So I walk out and by the little clubhouse thing, the shack thing, it wasn't a shack, it was more like a house. And I get my clubs, set them down, and I go over this little putting area. And so I'm going to putt a little bit, warm up, and there's only one other man on this putting surface. So I look up, and I'm putting, and I look up, and of course, it's George W. Bush. Now, if I wasn't rattled before, I'm really rattled now. And he said, well, why would that rattle you? Because in a global sense, and we talked, you know, I said, hello, we picked a great day, you know, you don't want to say the wrong thing, and of course, you know, soldiers come out of the woods and like, what do you want kind of thing. So it wasn't that bad, but there were Secret Service guys in carts. They realized that I couldn't hurt anybody with a 7-iron or a putter, either one. So I stood there and I kind of, you know, I'm a grown man, but you just get in situations, and I caught my breath, and then I started processing this then and beyond then. And I realized in terms of the planet, in terms of being on this planet at any given time in history, there were only so many people that I could ever meet that ever had the authority, you know, someone that basically ran the free world for a period of time. And I'm gonna tell you something, that's a weird feeling. And then this is what I've been processing. I have respect for any president, whether it's my political deal or anything. I have respect for the office. And we're instructed, by the way, to pray for whoever it is. You say, well, I don't like that guy. That's one of your problems. You quit praying for a black president, a green president, whatever color they are. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what your public persuasion is. You pray for those in authority. That's what the book says. So all of a sudden, this is what hit me. I'm probably not in my lifetime going to interact with anybody like that again, maybe. And then this is what hit me. He's just a man. The most powerful president, the most powerful king that could or ever live on this planet never could measure up to the King of Kings. So you say, well, I met so-and-so and I was honored and all that. Let me tell you something. If you can somehow transfer that, even if you've had the opportunity to meet somebody like that or you ever do, whatever comes over you, that should be what comes over you every day. When you sing out the name of Jesus, when you call out the name of Jesus, you are before the God of the universe, the King of the universe, that everyone, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is not just some little baby that was born. This is not just a king. This is the king. This is the king. In 1 Timothy, he's referred to in chapter 1, verse 15, referred to as which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Why do people try to write music to express this? Because there's something that wells up inside of us that we've got to find a way to tell him that we know he's amazing and want to communicate that to him. You need to get you a king. You say, well, I'm the king. It's good to be the king. That's not going to work out for you. It's not working out for you so far. It's not going to work out for you. Now go to Luke chapter 2. Just when you thought I'd run out of verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now I'm going back. We read in Matthew, he had already been born. Now I'm going to read you something about his birth. Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a king-size bed in a manger. But it turns out that manger was a king-size bed because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger," that king-sized bed. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Now jump couple more verses maybe in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, 14 says this, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." Go to Revelation 19, and I'm going to read a few verses out of this. Revelation 19, let's start in verse 1. Now, this is the end. This is after it's all been said and done. And here, the writer has gone into the future, basically, and seen these things and come back and written about it. "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.' Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.' And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus.'" Sometimes we're enamored with someone and we bow before the wrong person. Make sure you're bowing before the King of Kings, not just some king or somebody you think's cool. "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open to behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine presses and the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And you say, "Well, I don't believe any of that." You will, and I'm not being mean or sarcastic. You can say, "Well, I showed up, I listened, I stuck with you this far, I got my deal, I got my life, I got it all worked out, I'm the boss, I'm in control, I don't need a king, I don't need anybody running, ruling my life, I'm running my own life." And all I can tell you, you know, God help you, and at some point in this life, something will be allowed to happen for you to go, "This is not working, I do need someone else to be the Lord, to be the Savior, to be the King of my life, the one that I bow before, the one that I follow, the one that I trust, the one that runs my life." You say, "Well, what does that even mean to have some king that you worship and tells you what to do? I don't want anybody telling me what to do." You know what? When I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, I usually just end up in trouble. You say, "Well, like, do you spend your whole life, like, where are we going to lunch? Where are we going to park? You know, is it everything?" Yeah, it's everything. Why would you not want it to be everything? Sat down at lunch or dinner the other day in a restaurant, and this girl, we were about to pray at the meal, and we were laughing. We were having more fun than all the drunks in the place put together. I mean, we were having a big time. So she comes up, and we're laughing, and I said, "We're about to pray. Is there anything we can?" I didn't say I'm a preacher and pop a collar on or some crazy deal. I'm just being a person, right? I was embarrassed to tell her I was a preacher. It was a little crazy. I said, "Is there anything we can pray with you about, or anybody?" And she stopped and said, "Not really." And then she kind of said, "Maybe me." Talked about her. And I said, "Well, what's going on?" She said, "Well, I'm relationship." She started talking. And I looked at her and I said, "Look, if you got questions, don't marry this guy." He said, "Well, who are you to tell someone that? If she's going to marry him anyway, she's going to marry him. Some guy in a restaurant's not going to stop it. But get her to think and pray and ask God, 'God, what do you think?' You are making life decisions by yourself. Stop doing that. You don't have to live by yourself. You don't have to decide by yourself. You can literally... You don't have to close your eyes. You get a relationship with him. You go, 'God, help me. I don't want to marry the wrong person. I don't want to be the wrong person. Change me from the inside out. Save me from myself, from life, from sin, from death, from hell, from all of it. And show me what you intended for this to be.'" You say, "Well, I'll do that later. I'll get back to that one day." You only have one day, and this is your one day.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow in our faith, to continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as his hands, feet, and voice to our hurting world.
You know, not only is that the mission of the Richard Ellis Talks program, it's also the great commission of Pastor Richard himself to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus, to reach everyone together. So these 25 talks of Christmas this month is a creative way for you to reach a friend with some encouraging teaching. We've made it real easy for you to do just that from the website richardellistalks.com. You'll see the Christmas Talks Advent calendar, where every holiday-themed talk can be listened to, downloaded, or shared right from each day's door. The website is richardellistalks.com. So before we part ways for today, I'll remind you that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website Advent Calendar. Simply text the word Richard to our toll-free phone number, 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. All this month, it's some Christmas words of hope, insight, and encouragement during the holiday season, when perhaps we need to hear the message of Emmanuel above the rest of the seasonal noise. So to automatically receive the daily link, text Richard to 855-6-RICHARD, and you'll have these 25 talks of Christmas whenever and wherever you're ready to listen. So until we get together for the next Christmas talk, thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.